The Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jewish leaders then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living God sent me, and I live because of God, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which our ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you, dear people of God. Grace and peace. Amen. So I'm not counting, but if I were counting, just saying, we're in the fourth Sunday of five Sundays with a focus on bread, but I'm not counting. Just going to be very clear, I'm not counting. We're hearing snippets of these successive little bits of the gospel writer John's sixth chapter. A chapter that started on such a lovely hillside, didn't it? With such a tremendous, hungry crowd, thousands were told, and some bread and some fish and this incredibly hospitable Jesus. That's how it started. And then it goes deeper and it goes deeper and it goes deeper with the symbolism and the metaphors so familiar to John. I am the bread of life, Jesus declares. This is the bread that comes down from heaven. And finally, today, Jesus tells them, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. As the saying goes, you are what you eat. So there are two things that I noticed today. First, there is the debate. And it's a hot one, a debate that's bubbled and simmered, sometimes raged, in the early church, especially around the time that John penned this gospel. In different variations, the debate has continued through the years. It's rooted in this very question: are we really eating Jesus' body, his flesh? Are we really drinking Jesus' blood? The Jewish leaders wanted clarity, for if we were eating and drinking Jesus, wouldn't this be an abomination? Isn't that what the law and the prophets tell us so clearly in the Hebrew Bible not to do? That's the first thing I notice, this hot and holy debate. And the second, and it's related to the first, but it gets expressed differently, it's what I call the gross factor. Are you with me? The gross factor. Maybe you've heard it. A child who tunes in loud and clear as the words at Holy Communion are spoken. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. And from some corner in the sanctuary, or maybe right up in the front row, I don't know, there's this audible, reflexive, ew, gross, blood. Right? And really, there's no use picking on kids here. Grown-ups have had the very same experience. Our filters just work better, that's all. It's only the filters that are different. So yes, blood. Yes, yes, flesh. Yes, blood. That's precisely what Jesus said. Flesh and blood. So a shift happens in today's snippet of this gospel. Up until now, Jesus used this nice, polite, common word for eating. In Greek, it's estheo. But New Testament scholar Brian Peterson explains that beginning in verse 54, Jesus uses a less common word, trogo, a word that has a connotation much closer to munch or gnaw It's a graphic word of noisy eating, the sort of eating an animal does. Noisy animal eating. Uh-huh. That's what he's talking about today. So as this sixth chapter goes deeper and becomes more visceral, that's what Jesus must have had in mind when he says, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink." He means it. He's getting more real and less symbolic here. Can you see why the debate with the Jewish leaders got so hot? Can you identify with the ooh gross factor? In today's gospel, with a few choice nouns and verbs, this chapter veers from a big, abundant, everybody come kind of picnic on the hillside to a teaching session with lesson after lesson taking us another step or two or maybe four toward the real, physical, vulnerable, life-changing Lord's Supper, the one we have every Sunday morning. You are what you eat. David Loess writes, "Flesh and blood is a Hebrew idiom which refers to the whole person, hearts, minds, spirit, feelings, hopes, dreams, fears, concerns, everything." This is pretty simple, dear ones, radically simple, subversively simple. God incarnate, God in flesh, God in blood, the real thing, feeds us on God's very own self. Our God in Christ Jesus can hold our whole lives, our whole selves, our whole bodies, what we're proud of and what brings such great joy, and what makes us squirm because it seems maybe disgusting or blush with embarrassment, what sends up the red flags of age-old tradition. You'd better not talk about that in church. Well, too late, folks. Too late. For talk of flesh and blood, Jesus has already done it. Right here in today's gospel. For you are what you eat. And since we consume this incarnate one, we too are incarnate, strong and vulnerable, given and shared. We're sacramental, if you will, in this way. That power pack combination of God's word and this real fleshy element, you can write it almost like a math problem. God's people plus our unity with Christ means that we are Christ to our neighbors, consecrated. That's a big word, but we're consecrated for this life, for our neighbors. The real presence of Christ, that's what Martin Luther said about Holy Communion, and that's what we are in the neighborhood and at the farmer's market and in school and at home and in the dorm rooms and in the office, wherever it is that we go, consecrated. The real presence of Christ, the body of Christ, for we'll share communion today. And you are what you eat. You individually and as a community are Christ's very body. In all your gender identities and understandings and questions, in all the pronouns that you claim, you're Christ's body in whatever skin tone you carry, in all the brokenness and privilege and trauma that this holds. You are Christ's body, battered and bruised by domestic violence and police violence and street violence and self-harm and the unjust systems that Jesus knew so well with soul-depleting and heartbreaking systemic evil. You are Christ's body when bodies change and when memories fail, when balance is lost, when everything hurts, when tears just come. You are Christ's body in creating and in birthing and healing and holding and rising in love and weeping with loss. You are Christ's body with depression and anxiety when they take hold, when addictions seek everything. You together are Christ's body in times of agreement and times of division, intention, and in its momentum, you are what you eat. And that means you are Christ's body individually and together, Christ's very body. So this morning, we get to welcome our new pastoral intern, Lin-Ching Chu. Intern Lin-Ching will be with us for nearly a year, full-time, practicing being a pastor. Through seminary students, we've had plenty of seminary students that have come and gone and are often around Hope, but having a full-time intern is a new experience in this congregation. In a setting like ours, where learning is at our very core, our very vocation, welcoming Lin-Ching fits. It fits very, very well. And intern Lin-Ching will get to practice everything. Everything from preaching to leading worship, from teaching to administration, from pastoral care to outreach. And we have this special role in nurturing you, in caring for you, in raising you up with your gifts. Some things will come easily. Others will be a stretch. That's how we learn, each one of us. And the beauty is that this gives us, it gives every one of us permission to all be learners. That's a gift. It's a tremendous gift. So in a short time in this service, we're going to commission intern Lin-Ching, but also the internship committee, who I am grateful will intentionally walk with her through this year. In the coming weeks, we're also going to welcome a young adult coach, Amanda Vetch. Amanda comes to us through a grant from the Riverside Innovation Hub in partnership with the Lilly Foundation. A coach will be with us half-time and will coach us in our ministry with young adults. I know this may be confusing, but to be clear, we're welcoming two different people, two different people. And while we introduce intern Lin-Ching today, our coach Amanda will be introduced in the coming weeks. These two come to us in flesh and blood. They come to us as Christ's own body. So on this fourth week of Bread Gospels, I'm grateful for the fleshy, real messiness of today's reading. We can't talk about bodies and blood and all that other body stuff without some messiness. There's something empowering about knowing that we carry in our very bodies Christ's flesh and Christ's blood, that together we as community can be the body of Christ. And there are plenty of unknowns before us in this late August Sunday. You know that. Classes and roommates and responsibilities, uncertain health and relationships, changing schedules. Can we really handle what this new season is going to throw at us? Can we do it? What I know and what I trust is simply this. You are Christ's body. Every day, every night, broken and beloved, bound up with grace enough for what this day will hold and what tomorrow will bring. You are what you eat, flesh and blood, whole and holy, consecrated in love to be love. Thanks be to God. Amen.